This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're headed to low Earth orbit to the International Space Station and an inspection of a Progress freighter. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, watching ISS because of anomalies these last weeks and days and months to do with Roscosmos. Bob, a very good evening to you. An inspection of a Progress freighter. How and why? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, anomalies is a nice way to say it. What we have is a whole bunch of Russian vehicles that have developed leaks. A Soyuz developed a leak in its coolant system back in December. They can't use that Soyuz safely to bring people back to Earth. And so they're going to be launching an unmanned Soyuz capsule later this week to provide a lifeboat capability. But that it had a leak, and they took a picture of it, and I posted that on Behind the Black. And when the Progress freighter developed a leak just last weekend in its coolant system, same as the Soyuz, as it undocked, because it was getting close to the end of its life anyway, and they were going to undock it and deorbit it and burn it up in the ocean, over the ocean. But when it undocked, they purposely rolled it so they could take pictures and try to see if they could spot where the damage was. And I posted on Behind the Black a picture of that damage. It's very hard to see, and it wasn't initially obvious, but the Russians have now released the picture showing where they think that damage is, indicating that damage, and it's almost in the same approximate place as the hole in the Soyuz that leaked in December. As the person on Twitter who posted this image in English for us says, quote, "I can't even calculate the odds of two spacecraft being struck in almost the same place within weeks of each other," close quotes. And I agree. The Russians are saying right now that this hole on the Progress freighter was also likely an impact. But it doesn't look, there's so many questions about this that it's beyond words. The comparison of the two pictures, they're almost in the exact same spot. They're different in look. The Soyuz has stain all around it. That's from the coolant leaking out. But the Progress freighter, which had coolant leaking out, does not have the stain. The coolant leak kind of looks like it broke from the inside. There's material all around it. And so we're going to have to wait and see. Meanwhile, they not only have announced that the Soyuz unmanned capsule that's going to go up to take the astronauts back is going to force those astronauts to stay on ISS till September, which is 6 months longer than planned. So these guys will get, instead of a six-month mission, a year-long mission. That's where we stand. That's the situation on ISS with Russia. There are springing leaks all over the place. They claim they're from micrometeorites, and it's increasingly doubtful that could be possible, John.
I just want to clarify. So tomorrow, Thursday the 23rd, they will launch the lifeboat Soyuz to be connected to the ISS to give an option to the astronaut should there be a catastrophe. Is that correct, Bob?
Not to give them an option, it'll actually be their lifeboat. Right now, they have options, improvised options, using the Dragon capsule that's on board ISS, and then also the damaged Soyuz. They'll actually send two Russians down on that if they have to evacuate, and that's not really a good thing to do. This Soyuz will come up and become their lifeboat, and it will be the craft they will come home in. In September, assuming it doesn't spring a leak on its own. Meanwhile, the damaged Soyuz is going to be sent back in a few weeks to Earth. The place where the leak is on the service module, so that won't come back to Earth. So they won't have it on Earth to expect. But the Soyuz capsule will come back, and they will at least be able to get information whether it would have been safe to put people in it. And that will be information down the road if this terminal leaks take place, which could be, considering how things go with Russia.
All right. We go from the questions unanswered about Roscosmos and its capabilities to a orbital tug. We need to redefine what an orbital tug is, Bob.
Sure. The company is called Launcher, and they are a company that has been proposing their own rocket, their own engines, and also their own tugs. And what a tug is essentially an upper stage for moving small sats around, CubeSats and NanoSats. So when they get launched on the big rocket, the satellite is released, but it's released attached to a small tug, which is then takes it to its preferred orbit. It's not really an upper stage, even though I called it and suggested it was that, because it's, you could have multiple tugs on the rocket going to different places once they're released by the main rocket. And so there's a bunch of companies want to do this. One is Deorbit. There have been some successful. There's another one, Momentus, is an American company. Astroscale is a company that's talked about doing this in Japan. Well, Launcher, it launched its first orbital tug on Falcon 9 rocket in early January. And they've now announced that shortly after deployment, it lost power and basically failed. And the reason it failed is that it could not get into the proper attitude so that its solar panels could generate power. And there was some kind of fault in its GPS antenna system that did not allow it to be controlled and put in the right position. This company was carrying eight payloads, four of which were satellites that were going to be deployed. They would not be deployed now. The company said it was going to launch. It's going to launch two different tugs later this year. But I will tell you that there's a story that's just come over the pike that says this company has also been purchased by another company and absorbed into it. The tug operation will continue, but their rocket attempt will go away. They won't be building a rocket. So things keep changing.
They launched
this.
They launched on Falcon 9, so it was in orbit, and the mechanisms on the spacecraft themselves failed. Nothing to do with Falcon
9. That's right. The tug is what failed. It's nothing to do with Falcon 9. The tug with satellites and other payloads on board was released by Falcon 9 successfully. It was in its proper orbit. And the tug itself failed shortly thereafter because it lost power. So it was never even able to deploy anything or maintain orbit or move to the right place. It just failed.
All right, India. India's big space program has a better idea. They're going to make money. How, Bob?
You know, this has been the pattern of ISRO, that's India's government agency, comparable to NASA. It's been their policy from day one to use the rockets they've built to try to gain market share and actually make money for the government. And so they've announced that when they complete their first manned mission in space, dubbed Gangayaan, and they hope to do this in the next 2 years, their plan is to sell tourist tickets on future manned flights. That's what ISRO says it wants to do. And this was from a government minister saying this is what their policy is going to be. It fits their policy. In a sense, it might actually be damaging to India's private attempt to develop a private industry because the government agency is continuing to act as a major private company itself, and that sucks investment capital away from other private companies. But either way, they're still looking to make money, and that's in a sense a good thing, John.
Now, Bob, I remember there was a startup that was like a ticket agency for these suborbital and orbital flights. Do you remember that one? It was a clever idea. I'm wondering if all of these independent ideas of making money are going to be collected or aggregated into a ticket agency.
That could happen. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it does, but we don't quite yet have enough airlines, space lines to make it complicated to figure out what flights you want. There's not enough flights. However, the company you're thinking of was Space Adventures, and they were the ones that were organizing flights on the Soyuz capsules to Mir and then later ISS. They also were trying to arrange flights on Dragon, but that fell through. Such a company does exist. At the moment, though, I think most people are just going to go straight to the company they wish to hire to go into space, which is what most have been doing so far.
All right. What is Maxar and what is Umbra?
This is a really interesting commercial deal. Maxar operates a constellation of high-resolution optical imaging satellites. In other words, they look down at the Earth with high-resolution optical telescopes and provide great images. This is used by both commercial and military customers, and a lot of their images were used by the U.S. and the Ukraine during the war in the Ukraine. That's optical images. Well, Umbra operates a constellation of high-resolution radar satellites that look down at the Earth, and the radar can look through clouds, and even at nighttime. So while Maxar can get high-resolution optical, if it's cloudy or it's night, it can't do that. So what has happened is that Maxar, which is a bigger and stronger company, they have signed a deal with Umbra to link the two products together so that customers can go to Maxar and get both radar images from Umbra as well as optical images from Maxar. It's to quote, the contract will give Maxar assured access to the soon-to-be-launched 6th and 7th satellites in Umbra's constellation. In other words, Maxar is a customer now for Umbra, and this gives it then the ability to sell radar images to its own customers. It's an interesting deal because they're not directly competitors with each other, but they've kind of like worked the deal, a partnership together to maybe enhance both of their products, John.
SpaceX, always a fascination. Starship Super Heavy, more than that. This is the whole world is waiting for the launch. There may or may not be a date coming up in March, but right now this story is about oil rigs. How so, Bob?
SpaceX, back in 2020, had purchased two floating oil rigs that would no longer be used to pump oil. And it was said at the time, the situation over, and it's decided that those platforms won't work for being Starship Super Heavy landing and launch platforms. And so they have sold them. They sold them off. As Gwen Shotwell said, and this illustrates perfectly SpaceX, what makes SpaceX such a good company. She said, the company needs to first start launching Starship and better understand that vehicle before building offshore launch platforms. Quote, we really need to fly this vehicle to understand it, to get to know this machine, and then we'll figure out how we're going to launch it. And that means launching on a platform at sea or land it at a platform at sea. And so they'll eventually get back to figuring out how to do offshore platforms, but that's not the goal right now. They've got to focus on getting the thing off the ground. And as I say, this is a perfect example of the company's intelligent ability to focus on the most important problems now instead of getting distracted at future issues and letting them distract, you know, but not focusing on what they need to solve. So no floating platforms for the moment because Starship's got to get launched.
But let me understand the concept here. They were going to put the chopsticks on an oil rig.
No, this is a problem. No, John, actually, you're immediately pointing out why they abandoned the rigs. Because when they bought the rigs, they hadn't yet conceived using the chopsticks on the launch tower to catch the spacecraft as it came down, and therefore not bother with landing legs. When they bought the rigs, they were still thinking they were going to land like they do with the Falcon 9 first stage, where they'd have legs and would come down. Well, they've now decided to put the landing operation on the tower. Well, that might have made these oil rigs completely impractical. And so they've put the oil rigs aside. We'll come back to this problem later when we've got this thing launching and landing successfully using the chopsticks. And then they can start to think about how they're going to land it on a platform in the sea.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We've done with space engineering. We're headed for exploration to the planet Mars. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patton.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.